Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 82 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Kenzie Thompson.
And I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
And we have band class in several of those styles: bluegrass, old time, country.
The Kentucky Center for Traditional Music's spring finale concert is tonight.
The Hope Pregnancy Care Center is hosting a spring fundraiser this weekend.
Governor Matt Bevin says he is expecting a lot of support when he calls for a special session regarding pension reform.
Student loan and medical debts are among the top reasons Kentucky women are struggling financially.
An Ashland man has been arrested on child abuse charges.
In sports, MSU softball hosts a doubleheader with Marshall this afternoon.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 64. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Kentucky Center for Traditional Music semester finale concert takes place this evening. The Sound of Our Heritage concert is one of two concerts the center puts on during the semester to showcase the program's various music sections. KCTM director Raymond McLean says there's always plenty to hear.
Well, we have band class in several styles, you know, because for us, traditional music is bluegrass, old time, country, western swing, blues, ballad singing, all the music that's normally associated with our southern mountain region. And we have band class in several of those styles: bluegrass, old time, country.
The concert gets started at 7 this evening at the Moorhead Conference Center.
The Hope Pregnancy Care Center in Moorhead is hosting a spring fundraiser on Saturday. The purpose of the Walk for Hope event is to raise money to allow the care center to continue offering services to women, men, and families facing unplanned pregnancies and who are seeking parenting education. Tyra Meadows is with the Hope Center. She says the walk is not determined by miles or steps, but by donations from sponsors.
Those that are participating prior to the event, they come in and they get a brochure that has a place to document their sponsors, and they ask people to sponsor them to walk.
Once participants get their donations, they cash it in at the center during registration and take the walk. The event is on May 4th and will begin at the Hope Pregnancy Care Center at 8:30 a.m. Participants are required to stop by and pick up a brochure prior to the event.
Kentucky State Police will bring their mobile substance abuse education exhibit to St. Clair Healthcare in May. The event is designed to help raise awareness of opioid abuse in the region and will feature stories from addicts along with their struggles. Cassandra Hensley is the Assistant Center Director for the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center. She says she hopes educating the public will help the future of Kentucky.
It's a hard topic and epidemic within the region to kind of combat, but we really hope to kind of bring down those rates that they have, like our national rates. So we're hoping to see a decline in that.
The mobile education exhibit will be located on St. Clair's main campus Friday, May 3rd, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. The event is free and open to the public.
Relay for Life of Montgomery County is hosting its second annual Finish the Fight at Night 5K Glow Run or Walk this Friday. Proceeds from the 5K go to the American Cancer Society. The ACS region staff partner, Chase Barnes, says the committee wanted to do a glow run because it's never been done in Mount Sterling before.
We kind of just came together as a committee, as a new and fresh way to do fundraisers. So we started, our first one was actually in September, and then we moved it to a different time of the year this year, and as it's being held on Friday, and we already have pre-registered participants more than what we had total for the event last year, which is great.
The run begins at 9 p.m. on Adena Trail in downtown Mount Sterling. To register, visit runsignup.com/finishthefight5k.
Several firefighter agencies came together last weekend to learn new skills and sharpen existing ones. Around 150 volunteers' life-saving skills were taught, such as vehicle extrication and water drafting. Davis is the fire chief of the David Fire Department. He tells WYMT seeing Auxier Fire Department's ladder truck is enough of a reason to come out.
You learn to interact with other departments, what equipment they have, what other resources that I may need if I have a massive fire at David. That's been a good experience to see what they have in case I ever have a massive fire up at David. And I know kind of a little bit about the truck and then the guys that's going to be operating it.
There are 14 extensive classes at the event, with each class lasting 8 hours per day. Classes will continue this coming weekend in Lawrence County, where firefighters will work with a live structure fire.
Hundreds of Kentuckians gathered in Pike County last weekend for the 12th annual Judy's Place for Kids Run with Courage. Kentucky is one of the top states in the country for child abuse or neglect. Since 1999, Judy's Place for Kids has helped change that. Former First Lady Judy Patton tells WYMT that during her husband's time as the governor of Kentucky, she saw a need for awareness and prevention.
When I became First Lady, there was only two places in the state of Kentucky for abused children to go to. That's Lexington and Louisville. And so now we have our children's advocacy centers all across Kentucky, and we're helping these babies.
Judy's Place for Kids is a nonprofit organization providing resources to children who suffer from a variety of maltreatment. The money raised during the race will go towards funding Judy's Place.
We'll take another look at your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Jenny's Embroidery Unlimited, 143 East Main Street in Moorhead. Embroidery Unlimited specializes in screen printing, embroidery, heat press, quilts, and blankets, wedding, anniversary, and baby gifts, custom-designed t-shirts, pullovers, hoodies, hats, and bags for athletic teams, Greek organizations, clubs, and businesses. Open 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Embroidery Unlimited can be reached at 784-7000 and Facebook under Jenny's Embroidery Unlimited.
Governor Matt Bevin says he's expecting support from all sides when he calls for a special session regarding pension reform in the state. Governor Bevin vetoed House Bill 358 earlier this month. It allowed regional universities and quasi-governmental agencies to opt out of the Kentucky Employees Retirement System as a means to deal with the Commonwealth's pension woes. However, Bevin tells WDRB the new bill is already written, and for the most part, it's pretty much the same.
It's better. It gives better options to the quasis themselves, but it gives them more choice. But then the biggest issue is that it's legal. It doesn't have things in there that are just not allowed by law, and it has the correct dates. So it's been cleaned up a little, and it'll be ready to go. It is ready to go, but it's a function of when we roll it out. It needs to be done before July 1st, and will be done sooner than later.
Bevin says there isn't an exact timetable on the special session, but state representatives are being familiarized with the new bill's contents, so they may act quickly during the session.
Student loan and medical debts are among the top reasons women in Kentucky are experiencing financial hardships. That's according to a new survey conducted by the Kentucky Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Most of the survey participants were women, and 26% said they were survivors of domestic violence. Andrea Miller directs economic empowerment programs for the Kentucky Coalition Against Domestic Violence. She led the survey conducted at mobile tax preparation sites in Moorhead, Maysville, and Somerset. Miller says women often stay in an abusive relationship for economic reasons.
We have survivors who, if they're working, their partner takes their pay, gives them an allowance, or just controls all the household finances. That might be even just a disability. We might have a survivor that's on a disability benefit that the partner controls.
Each tax season, Miller and team of volunteers set up free pop-up tax preparation services across the state. This year, her team brought nearly $700,000 in federal tax refunds back to residents.
A new Wallet Hub study has singled Kentucky out to be the worst state to retire in. WMKY's Haley Stidham has more.
The study assessed 46 key indicators in each state. According to WRKR, those indicators covered three main categories: affordability, quality of life, and health care. The Commonwealth ranked 32nd in nationwide terms of affordability, 28th in quality of life, and 47th in health care. Those indicators placed Kentucky last in the rankings, while Florida ranked number one. For WMKY News, I'm Haley Stidham.
Former clients of Eric C. Kahn are likely to get their benefits back. As according to attorney Ned Pillersdorf, Kahn, a disgraced disability lawyer, was convicted in 2018 of a $550 million Social Security fraud scheme. Pillersdorf hosted a meeting for some of Kahn's former clients in Prestonsburg yesterday. Pillersdorf tells WYMT some of them have gone 2 or 3 years without paychecks, but the legal battle to get their benefits back is progressing.
With respect to the approximately 800 former con clients who have lost their benefits, we have won a series of rulings in federal courts, which means it's likely that all 800 are likely to get their benefits back.
Hillersdorf says the meeting was a way to meet some of the former clients, as there is no available record of them.
An Ashland man has been arrested on child abuse charges. The Daily Independent reports 32-year-old Bobby Brantley was arrested yesterday by the Raceland Police Department after a 2-year-old girl was airlifted to a hospital. He is charged with first-degree criminal abuse of a child. Police say the child was found unresponsive at an apartment complex in Wortland Sunday evening. As of Monday evening, the girl remains in critical condition. Brantley was arraigned in Greenup County District Court yesterday. He is lodged in the Greenup County Detention Center.
A Grayson County man is going to jail for half a century for creating and distributing child pornography. KNN's Haley Hansen has more.
37-year-old James Armez pled guilty to multiple counts of production, distribution, and possession of child pornography. According to his arrest citation, Armez used his cell phone to take inappropriate pictures and videos of two children in 2017. He took photos of a little boy who was younger than 5 years old and made sexual contact with a baby girl. Because of a prior rape conviction, he faced a mandatory minimum sentence of 25 years imprisonment. He was sentenced to 50 years. I'm Haley Hansen.
A former Woodford County teacher in prison for having sex with a student will appear in front of a judge next week. 34-year-old Lindsay Jarvis is suing the Kentucky Department of Corrections and the Attorney General. She claims she should already be eligible for parole. According to WKYT, the state requires sex offenders to complete a 24-month program administered by the Department of Corrections before they can be released. In court documents, Jarvis says she voluntarily completed a sex offender treatment program on her own before she was sentenced. She was told that would count. A judge will hear the case next Wednesday.
A Pike County man accused of trafficking cocaine has been found guilty on all counts. 48-year-old Jody Scott of Little Hackens Creek was convicted last week on 9 counts of trafficking. Assistant Pike Commonwealth's attorney Melissa Goodman prosecuted the case. She tells EKBTV the conviction is a big win for the area.
We've all heard somebody say there must be drug dealing going on at that house because of the amount of traffic coming and going. The cars coming and going out of this man's driveway was like he was running a regular business that was open to the public. Not only was he selling drugs, he would buy drugs.
The jury recommended a sentence of 20 years for Scott. He'll be formally sentenced on May 22nd. Taking a look at weather, chance for sprinkles, partly sunny with a high near 85 on Wednesday. Wednesday night, a slight chance of showers after midnight, mostly cloudy with a low around 65. Chance of precipitation is at 20%. Thursday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms likely, mostly cloudy with a high near 81, 60% chance. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 63. Chance of precipitation is at 40%. And Friday, a chance of showers likely and possibly thunderstorms. Taking a look at some local temperatures, 84 degrees in Ashland, 83 in Inez, 81 degrees in Winchester, 82 degrees in Lexington, 80 degrees in Flemingsburg, and 82 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State Public Radio.
In our feature segment today, the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music will be hosting bluegrass jamming classes. WMKY's Naya Indueza has the story.
The 5-week course will be held on Sunday afternoons from 3 to 7 p.m. through May 26th. Michelle Wallace, a bluegrass artist with the Hazel Holler Band and host of Bluegrass Sunday here at Morehead State Public Radio, will be teaching the jamming classes using Wernick Method.
The Wernick Method, it was developed by Pete Wernick, who plays banjo for the band Hot Rod. And Pete, 9 years ago, developed the Wernick Method, which is a way to teach people who've never jammed together or played music together, a way to teach them to come together and play together as a little group.
Wallace says the students will be learning the basics of jamming in a group.
We'll be teaching these students kind of some unwritten rules of jamming, the jamming etiquette, sometimes we call it, how to take a break in a song, how to lead a song and how to end a song, of course. And so all those components working together create an environment where people are able to play together.
The purpose of the bluegrass jamming classes is to bring students together into groups that will continue even after the classes are over.
There's certain components in there that we teach these students so that they are able to jam together even after they leave the class. That's the whole idea, is to keep them jamming, keep them playing music.
Wallace says that they are hoping to host several class sessions per year so people can carry the lessons with them wherever they go.
We're hoping to have 1 to 2 jam classes per year and hold it down there at the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music. It's a good way to get people even from outside of our area coming into our area to learn how to jam and learn how to take some music home with them and play with other people back home.
There are no requirements to be able to participate in the jamming sessions other than a basic knowledge of chords.
There's no experience required. The only thing is you have to be able to change smoothly between 4 chords. If you know 4 chords on your instrument, G, C, D, and A, if you know those 4 chords, that's all you have to do is to be able to come to the class. That's the only prerequisite.
People who will participate in the jamming session will receive 20 hours of class time.
It's $195 for the 5-session class. You'll have receive a total of 20 hours of classroom time. That covers everything.
Those interested in participating can register online at letspick.org.
We would prefer that they register in advance, if at all possible, only because Pete mails out a classroom flyer type thing to the students ahead of time, kind of get them prepared for what to expect in the class.
Although it is preferred to register beforehand, people can register at the door on April 28th.
If somebody shows up on Sunday, we have extra packets with us that we can give to them and kind of catch up a little bit there. So it's best if they register, but if they can't, we'll still take them if they show up on Sunday.
All bluegrass musicians of all bluegrass instruments are encouraged to attend the jam sessions. Pricing and sessions will be adjusted accordingly for those who have missed a previous class. For WMKY News, I'm Naya Andweza.
It's 4:47 and 82 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Kenzie Thompson, here with Nacogdoches Miller. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this sunny Tuesday afternoon. Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University, offering a weekly summer camp program for children ages 5 through 12. Open to the community May 20th through August 2nd, an inclusive, fun, and active camp program run by certified counselors. Space is limited. More information by calling Zach Martin at 783-5284 or online at morehedstate.edu/recreation.
Morehead State battles the herd. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Morehead State softball team dropped game 1 in a doubleheader with Marshall this afternoon. The Herd took the first game 11-1. The Eagles are currently battling in the second matchup of the afternoon. Head coach Samantha Jones says her team is focused on completing a tough season.
We need to fight more, and we need to figure out a way to believe in themselves and believe in their abilities and show a little bit more fight and grittiness when we get on the field. And all aspects of the field, and that starts within the dugout, and then that continues with fielding and hitting and pitching and catching. So there just needs to be more fight from them.
The Eagles have a few days off this week to prepare for a doubleheader on Friday. They host Ohio Chillicothe at 2 and 4 p.m. Live stats are available at msueagles.com. Those games can be viewed live on ESPN+. The Rowan County softball team will host a doubleheader with Menifee tonight at Sloan Stadium. The Vikings are 14-9 on the season so far, while the Lady Cats come in at 4-15. Head coach Larry Sloan says his team is ready to bounce back from 3 losses in a row in the last week.
We didn't play very well with Haven and Emily Hammonds were gone, and so I was too short of the regular starters, and we didn't quite play as well as I thought we would. But, you know, it is what it is. You go play them and do the best you can, and win or lose, you come home, start over.
First game begins tonight with a 6 p.m. matchup, and the nightcap is set for 7:30. Taking a look at other softball action tonight in the 16th region, East Carter travels to Boyd County for a 5:30 game. Then Fleming hosts Raceland, Lewis County hosts Russell, and Morgan County hosts a doubleheader with Prestonsburg. All three of those matchups begin at 6 p.m. Taking a look at regional baseball action tonight, Fleming County hosts Bourbon County at 5:30. Boyd County travels to Ashland Blazer. East Carter travels to Morgan County, and Bath County travels to St. Patrick. All three of those are set to begin at 6 p.m. We'll have scores for all of tonight's games tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Rowan County baseball team has a couple of days off after shutting out Bracken County at home last night 11-1 in five innings. The win moves Rowan to 24-3 on the season. Head coach Scott Collins said going into last night's matchup that he expected a tough game.
Notice some of the teams they played, you know, Harrison County, which is, you know, a perennial powerhouse, you know, most years, you know, they lost to them, so can't really get a good read off of that because some of the teams they played are, you know, very good programs. So, you know, we just have to come out and try to put it all together and see what we can come out with.
And it looks like they came out on top. The Vikings return to Don G. Harden Field Thursday at 6 to face a 13-6 Boyd County team. The Morehead State baseball team is preparing to hit the road tomorrow. The 28-17 Eagles will travel to Huntington on Wednesday to face off with 23-20 Marshall. MSU went 1-2 in a three-game series with Jacksonville State over the weekend. Head coach Mike McGuire says the next few games are pivotal for postseason play.
Can you still win the league? Sure. You know, but you know, we got to put a string together. And probably need to get some help. Can we end up with a good seed, which is important? Yes. And so, you know, we got to play a sense of urgency.
Game time Wednesday is set for 3 p.m. You can listen to that game live on MSUEagles.com. Yet another member of the Morehead State University baseball team is getting some recognition within the Ohio Valley Conference. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg has more.
After tossing arguably one of the best games in Morehead State history, Eagle redshirt junior Dalton Stambaugh has been selected as the Ohio Valley Conference Pitcher of the Week. He is the fifth different Eagle to earn an OVC Weekly Award in 2019, and the second pitcher joining fellow moundman Jason Goh. Stambaugh completely shut down Jacksonville State's bats this past Friday night on the road. He put together a complete game shutout and only allowed three base runners. Two of the three were hits in the first inning, but he proceeded to retire 17 consecutive batters into the seventh inning. After a one-out walk, Stambaugh coaxed an inning-ending double play grounder. Among the 27 outs he got, eight were strikeouts. For WMKY Sports, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
The Cincinnati Reds are preparing for Game 2 in their series against the Mets this evening. Since he picked up the win last night 5-4 after Jesse Winkler got the game-winning home run in the top of the ninth. Manager David Bell tells Reds.com he's happy with Winkler's continuing success.
He has a good approach at the plate, and he's a guy that is just going to keep getting better as a hitter. I mean, that's big right there to do that in any situation, but to do it off such a good arm, a good pitcher for the Mets. I mean, that says a lot, you know, and he's, he just seems to get better and better and better. So
first pitch this evening is set for 7:10. And finally in sports this afternoon, history will be made on Saturday when a Japanese bred horse enters the Kentucky Derby starting gate. Here's KNN's Paul Miles.
His owner is Japanese. The jockey is French.
He's a pro. I mean, he doesn't care about anything. The cameras.
Master Fencer is the name of the chestnut colt that will be the first Japanese-bred horse to race in the Kentucky Derby. He'll be ridden by Julian Leperu.
Japanese racing is it's big over there, you know, and I don't think they would have bring him here if they didn't think they have a slightest chance.
LeParoux is seeking his first Derby victory. Master Fencer has morning line odds of 50-1. I'm Paul Miles.
And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at MSUEagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host Murray State for a three-game series this weekend. Game times are at 5 p.m. on Friday, 2 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The NASDAQ fell today as Google's parent Alphabet tumbled on a revenue miss, and the tech-heavy index slid almost 0.7% after reaching an all-time high in the previous session. The rest of the market did inch higher, and at the close, the Dow Industrials was up 38.52 at 26,592.91. The S&P 500 was up 2.80 at 2945.83, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 54.01 at 8095.39. As mentioned, Google parent Alphabet dropping 7.5% today, posting its worst day since October 2012. This after the company reported revenue of $36.34 billion in the first quarter versus $37.33 billion expected. The weaker revenue was driven by decelerating ad sales growth, according to the company. After the bell today, Apple reported better-than-expected earnings, beating expectations by 10 cents a share, and the stock was up just over 3% in after-hours trading. Dow component McDonald's posted quarterly earnings and revenue that topped analyst estimates. Global same-store sales grew over 5% in the first quarter, more than the 3.4% increase analysts had expected. The company's stock rose about 0.25%. GE reported better-than-expected first-quarter earnings, sending its shares up 4.6%, and it was one of the best performers in the S&P 500. The company also reaffirmed its guidance for 2019 and signaled it was burning less cash than previously expected. With more than half of S&P 500 companies having reported, 77% have topped analyst estimates. If all remaining companies report numbers in line with estimates, earnings growth will be up about 0.7% year over year, which does contrast with the 2% decrease that was expected as recently as April 1st. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.5% at $63.80 a barrel. Gold was up 0.3% at $1,285.40 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were unchanged today. The Stock 600 index was up less than 0.1%. Overseas in Asia, markets were down today. The Nikkei was down 0.2%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.625%. In as far as Dow Industrial stocks were concerned today, your best performers were Pfizer and Merck, while the worst performers were Apple and United Health Group. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Seagate Technology and GE, and the worst performers were Alphabet and Baker Hughes. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp up 31 cents at $53.31, Dollar General up 98 cents at $126.08, Delta Airlines up 55 cents at $58.28, Marathon Petroleum down 14 cents at $60.85, Valvoline up 13 cents at $18.49, and Anthem was down $3.32 to finish at $262.97. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today, we had help from MSPR staff Cassidy Stearman, Grant Johnson, Haley Stidham, Jacob Lindberg, Leanne Akers, Tanner Boyd, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. K&N's Haley Hansen, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today comes from WMKY's very own Naya Indweza. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Nacogdoches Miller and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Kenzie Thompson for WMKY News. All things considered,